As we continue our walk through the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, as we've been doing over the past few weeks, we find ourselves at a passage of Scripture that's not going to be easy to hear. It's not going to be easy to teach. And it's not going to be easy to conform to. Because we as America are living what this passage of Scripture says and is titled Godlessness in the Last Days. This week, in preparation for today, I read an excerpt from a book written by Bill O'Reilly, who is a news anchor on Fox News. And the book is titled Culture War. Bill O'Reilly believes that in America, we are in the middle of a culture war. And according to O'Reilly, the battle between traditionalists, which are those who embrace the traditional Judeo-Christian values that this nation was founded on, and the secular progressives who reject the traditional Judeo-Christian values and want to change America into a secular country, are at odds. What I would say to Mr. O'Reilly is that, yes, we may be in the midst of a culture war, but more importantly, we are in the midst of what God calls the last days, where we will see godlessness, not only in the world that we live, but in our churches. And so today we will dive into this scripture, and I pray that God would teach us. You see, the way I see it is we are living in a nation that in many respects is secular and pagan, and that's what God's word tells us is going to happen in the last days. And even though a large percentage of Americans still think of themselves as Christians, we still wear the label, I would venture to say that many are not. The church in America today needs to wake up and realize that we're no longer living in the glory days of the 1950s, when the church was probably at its peak, at its best. We're not living in the good old days. I hear often about things that we used to do but that may not be effective today. We need to realize that we're not living in a nation where the majority of people go to church 3 times a week. We need to realize that we no longer live in a society that respects nor adheres to the basic tenets of the Christian faith, which leads us to the place we are today. You see, church, in fact, I believe that we live in a society that has little respect for the Christian faith or for those who call themselves Christians. So having said that, how are we supposed to live in this world as Christians? How are we supposed to move forward in this life? That today is what I want us to see. I want us to see how we can still be the salt and the light to the earth that God has called us to be. How are we supposed to make a difference in America today? And understanding how we are to live in what I will call today a postmodern era. Join me as we read in Scripture today, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1, and I'll read through verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, ending in verse 9. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. Anybody have any times of difficulty this week? For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, the scripture says, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women burdened with sin and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. God, thank you for today, and thank you for your word. Thank you for Timothy, God, and his willingness to carry on what Paul had encouraged him to do, God. Thank you for the words written to Timothy, God, that can be a light for us today. Lord, it's in your gracious and loving heavenly name we pray today. Amen. Is it just me, or does that passage of Scripture sound a lot like the world that we live in today? When I read that passage of Scripture, I think to myself, when I watch the news, I see all of those things. Lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedience, ungratefulness, unholiness, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. So today I pray over the next little while that we can grasp an understanding of how we should live in this world. But before we do that, we must understand first that we're living in a postmodern society. We're living in a postmodern world, and so many of you may understand what that term means, but chances are some of you don't. And so I feel like that before we dive into some of the principles that we can talk about, we must first understand what a postmodern era is. The pre-modern era ended in the 1500s. So in order to get to post, there had to be a pre and probably somewhere in the middle. So I want to share just a couple of things about those to help us get to the point where we are today. The postmodern era ended back in the 1500s. It was the Age of Enlightenment. Some of the characteristics of this period in human history include this. Boy, would I have loved to have lived this time. The belief that God was the center of the universe. The belief that there were absolute truths and that God was the source of those absolute truths. The belief that every area of a person's life was influenced by faith in God. The belief that all the world's problems could be solved if everyone would simply obey and worship God. And then we find ourselves in the modern era or modern age, which began in the 1500s and lasted until around 1960. It was kind of the midpoint. Some of the characteristics of this time period were people became much more self-confident. We're seeing the shift. We're moving away from God. We're becoming more self-confident. The center of the universe shifted from God to mankind. Absolute truth still existed, although it was no longer found in God. Instead, it could be discovered through human reasoning and the scientific method. The belief that mankind was evolving and increasing in knowledge so quickly that we would be able to make the world a much better place to live. In other words, that we would be so intelligent that we would be able to solve all of our problems ourselves, without a holy God, without the need for someone else. However, this belief was shattered by World War I, the Great Depression, and World War II. So then brings us to the postmodern age, which began around 1960 and is in full swing today. And I want to share some of the characteristics of the postmodern age. Now understand, we're going to talk more about this today because this is kind of where we're at in today's society. I believe the postmodern mindset is very pessimistic. It's very pessimistic. People no longer believe that science is going to be able to solve all of the problems in the world. And most people no longer believe that the future holds brighter days than the past. Hence the reason we always want to go back to the, what did I call them a minute ago? The glory days or the good old days. Because we don't trust God enough to know that there might be better days ahead. I've said it for years at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, and I still believe that our best days are ahead. We've seen some of the best days, and at least in my 10 years, over the last couple of years at Mount Pisgah, and I believe that there's still more to come that the Lord is working on. But because of this pessimism, there's a feeling of despair or hopelessness that's prevalent amongst many people today. But not only is the postmodern mindset pessimistic, it's also relativistic. It's also relativistic. And all of these are not on the screen, but just understand, and you can write them down in your notes. That's one of the reasons we just have sermon notes today and not an outline. This simply means that everything is relative. There's a reason for everything. There's no universal principle or absolute truths that apply to all culture, to all people, and to every situation. There's nothing that we can center our lives on, and everything is just relative. There's even a song about it. It's just relative. Everything is relative, and it's based on our knowledge and understanding at the particular time, not that we go back to something. This means that if our knowledge increases in a certain area, then our attitudes and our beliefs are subject to change. Postmodernism is subjective. This is the idea that truth and all moral values are created by society and adopted by individuals. It's the idea that every truth is subjective to a person's experience and their personal knowledge. We base everything that we do based on, I've been there, done that. That kind of culture. It's the been there, done that, got the t-shirt. You've heard that saying before. It's the idea that every truth is subjective to those principles. In other words, truth is merely what makes sense to a person and how they perceive it through their own personal experience. Many postmodern men and women don't recognize the Bible as God's Word or that it contains absolute truth. We talked about this in a Bible study back in April, May, with the Wednesday morning and the Wednesday evening as we were talking about this culture war that we're in. And the fact that people today don't believe in an absolute truth. People believe today, unfortunately, that truth can be found in many spiritual places. Many of us look to Oprah. Some of us look to the Quran. Some of us look to the Book of Mormon. They would argue that truth comes from what they perceive to be true, not what an old-fashioned, irrelevant book has to say. And that's why it has become increasingly more difficult in recent years to use the Bible when talking to people about their spiritual beliefs. But church, let me tell you, there is nothing about this book that is irrelevant, that is not needed, that is something that we don't need to base our lives on today, because I believe that this word is the total inerrant word of God. And we must believe it from cover to cover. That means Old Testament and New. We can't find truth in other places. Our truth must come from God's Word. Postmodernism is also experience-focused. The belief here is that the experiences a person actually has are far more important than theory or logic or reason. The postmodern man or woman is more concerned with what they feel and experience in the present than they are with the past or the future. You see, this must be where the philosophy, "it feels good, if it feels good, do it," came from. Many of these individuals have absolutely no reason to curb their fleshly desires because they don't believe in heaven or hell. To them, this life is all there is, and they want to get the most out of it. Postmodernism is experience-focused, but it's also personal. The postmodern era is personal. You say, well, what does that mean, Pastor Chris? Postmodern individuals believe that truth is based on their own personal beliefs, which essentially means that anything goes. Think we live in an anything-goes society today? If you don't think that's the case, watch the news. How many times have you heard something like this? What a person does in his or her own home is their own business. Or, here's another one. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens at the beach stays at the beach. Friends, when that's the mindset that we live, we base our spiritual life on experience rather than God's word. We let everything else, how we feel, get us to the point where we are. In his book that I referenced a few moments ago, Culture War by Bill O'Reilly, he refers to a list of what he calls the Ten Commandments of the secular progressive movement. The first is, thou shalt not make any judgment regarding most private personal behavior. Man and woman is the master or mistress of the universe, and his or her gratification is paramount. Friends, we've gotten to a place where self-gratification is more important than lifting up the holy word of God and the gospel of Jesus. All of this reminds me of a passage of scripture found in the book of Judges. Judges 17:6 says this, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his or her own eyes. The New Living Translation says it this way, in those days Israel had no king, so the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. One more translation, the Message paraphrase, says it this way, in those days there was no king in Israel. People did whatever they felt like doing. Seems pretty common to the world that we live in today. This is the society that we're living in today in America. People are only concerned about ourselves and what we want, and not what is good for the society or the country as a whole, but more importantly, what is important for the kingdom of God. Postmodernism is also tolerant. Those who adhere to the postmodern way of thinking demand tolerance. They argue because truth and ethical decisions are based on what each individual holds to be true, and because they are personal and not open to comment from society, everyone must accept them. Tolerance has led to the idea of pluralism, which is the belief that all religions, faiths, and truths are equally valid and provide an acceptable path to salvation. Friends, as a believer in Christ, I believe that this word of God provides the only path to salvation, and that is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. I have a note written in my Bible next to this passage of Scripture, and it's a reminder that I look at often, and it says this, will Jesus die and rise again in my sermon today? And if not, can I say that the gospel was preached? And friends, as I think about that, I think about how true that is to the Christian life. Will Jesus rise? Will Jesus die and rise again in my daily going about workings of my life? And if not, have I done what Jesus has called me to do today? When it comes right down to it, the only religion that cannot be tolerated in our world seems to be Christianity. Postmodernism teaches that those who claim to have an exclusive truth are extremists or fundamentalists. That's the world that we live in America today. That's the postmodern era. But in the balance of the time that I have left, I would like to share just a couple of principles that I believe we can use and see from God's Word to help us live in this postmodern world, to where that we can say that in our daily going about life, that Jesus will die and rise again so that we're doing what God's called us to do. So I want to share some principles for living in a postmodern world. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Apostle Paul says this: "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." It's real easy to sing a song, the words to a song that are on the screen that says, "Speak to me, O God. Teach me, O God. Test me, O God." But friends, if we're not allowing the gospel to change us, if we're not allowing the Word of God to transform us, then we will not admonish those things. We will not understand those things. What does Paul mean when he says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world"? I believe it would be helpful for us to look at a more modern translation of this verse. In the New Living Translation, it says this: "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world." I'm sorry. "Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is." So friends, our behavior and our customs, they should be noticeably different than the world around us. We should continue to live by God's standards instead of lowering our standards to make the church and the gospel message more appealing. I'm afraid that today in our society that we live in our churches, that we're lowering the standard of what God intends for us to do so that we become more tolerant, because that's what the world around us is telling us to do, right? We must become more tolerant. We must allow things to infiltrate us that shouldn't. We need to let God be first and foremost. We should continue to live by God's standard instead of lowering ours. I personally believe that this means that we should continue to stand up for what we know is right and oppose that which we know is wrong, even if the rest of society says that it's okay. Don't shy away from your thoughts. Don't shy away from your personal convictions. Share them, because they may be different than mine, and maybe we can learn from one another. We get that. That's why we need each other. That's why it takes the whole body of Christ. When we're sharing, it's not criticism. It's growing together in Christ. So we must be willing to not be conformed. But secondly, the way we think should be different than those who are in the world. Postmoderns tend to be very pessimistic, and they have this pessimistic outlook on life. As Christians, we should be optimistic. We should trust that what the Lord holds is a hope for us, and that He and He alone has the answers to the problems that the world is currently facing. We must be willing to be optimistic, not pessimistic. But thirdly, we all know that the postmodern people think differently than we do on just about every issue. Whether it's abortion, the legalization of drugs, homosexuality, whatever it may be, whatever hot topic that we may be talking about. Friends, as Christians, we must be vigilant to not water down the Word of Christ so that some people may feel accepted. We must teach the full counsel of God's Word. You see, a poll of the Presbyterian Church in the USA was conducted recently. And one of the questions had to do with the belief that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I want to share the results of the statistic. Only 43%, in this poll, only 43% of lay people and 39% of their clergy responded by saying that they agreed with the statement. That says that only 43% of people and 39% of pastors in the Presbyterian USA Church believe that God's Word is the only way to heaven. And friends, I can't help believe that while this statistic is shared about the Presbyterian Church, that it wouldn't be more true about others. Friends, we've allowed our culture to evolve us rather than evolving the culture that's around us with God's Word. Another example is how some Christians today have been influenced by the postmodern thinking when it comes to experience. Many people today are more concerned about having a religious experience when they come to church than they are about actually worshiping God. We've fallen into this trap of thinking that worship is all about us and what we can get out of it. I hear it often. Not here. Don't hear me say that I hear it here. But I hear it from other pastors. And I hear it on podcasts and things that I listen to where people, the only question they want to ask is, what can church do for me? Rather than what I can do for the church or what I can do for the Lord. So friends, we must not be conformed to the ways of this world. The third thing, there were some principles that I shared. But I have a couple of options when it comes to dealing with the postmodern world. Number one, the first is to isolate ourselves from the rest of the world so that we will not be enticed or influenced by it. But all we have to do is look at the recent things that are going on in our world to see that that doesn't work. We can't just go hide in a bubble. We can't all build on our property here at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church. That'd be great, wouldn't it? If we could just have like a commune right here and we could just all live here together and we could help one another. I'm just kidding about that, really. We'd probably get tired of each other after a while. I know y'all get tired of me anyway. We can't just go live in this bubble and expect the world to just see what we're doing and model after what we're doing. We see that doing that wouldn't work. But the second option that we have is we can learn how to be more effective ministers and share the gospel message with people in the postmodern world that we're living in. I would say that that's the better of the options. That's why we need each other. That's why we need each other's opinions. That's why we need each other's thoughts. Why we need each other's back so that we can go out and we can be effective ministers for the gospel of Jesus. As I close this morning, I would say this. As we live in an ever-evolving and changing world, we must be vigilant to make sure the message that God has given us to spread does not change. We cannot allow the world to conform the message that God has given us. The delivery method may change because we're not living in the glory days, the good old days. We're not living back in pre-1500 where everything was centered around God. So therefore, some things must have to change, but the message cannot change. Also, we must make sure that we are more concerned about the gospel than any other thing. We must be concerned that people know this book and that it's not some irrelevant book that they think we just want to go smack them upside the head with, but instead that it is our instruction book for life. Would you pray with me this morning? God, thank you so much for today. God, and I pray that as we sit in this room as a gathered faith family, God, that we would be a people who have a passion God, to have you die and rise in our daily life so that people know you. God, because ultimately at the end of the day, nothing else matters. Nothing else is going to be the way to heaven. Nothing else is going to be the decision maker for me. Nothing else is going to lead me on the path to righteousness, God. So I pray, Lord, that you would teach us, that you would speak to us. And God, that we would not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but by the renewing of our minds through you, God, that we would be your children. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, I don't even understand that thought process of what this renewing of my mind, this relationship with Jesus. Friend, if you're here today and you don't understand that Jesus came to this earth, he died on the cross, he rose from the grave 3 days later so that we could have an opportunity at eternal life with the Father. Friend, I would love to talk to you about that today. Because we are living in the midst of a godless society. And God's word tells us that we are living in the last days. We don't know if that means 1,000 years from now or 2 days from now. But we know that God's return is imminent. And we're seeing the signs of the times, if you will. So friend, I pray that you would not tarry any longer. And if you don't understand that, that you would come and allow me or Pastor Chris or Sherry or John or one of our deacons to share with you about that. Maybe you're here today and you would say, well, Pastor Chris, I've done that, but I haven't been living for Jesus. I've been allowing my life to be conformed. I've been living that what happens in my house stays in my house mindset. And I need to be transformed by the renewing of the power of God. Friend, this altar will be open. I'll be here if you need to pray. You can pray right where you sit. Maybe you sit at home watching on live stream. You can pray right where you are. Friend, if God's calling you back to him, come. We've got to rally the forces so that we can go and make a difference for Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you see what this faith family is about and you want to be a part of that. I'd love to talk to you more about that. Coming and helping us as we strengthen relationships with God, His church, and the world. I'll be at the front if you need to talk about that. I'd love to have that conversation with you. Friend, ultimately, what I'm asking is that if God is dealing with your heart in any way, shape, form, or fashion today, I pray that you not walk out of this place the same way that you walked in. Because unfortunately, the world is against us. And we must bind together for the cause of Christ. Lord, thank you so much for today. And thank you for allowing us to study your word. God, thank you for allowing us to talk about things that are not easy to talk about. God, because it's the days that we're living in. It's easy to talk about what happened in the past or what may happen in the future, but when we talk about today, sometimes it gets uncomfortable. And so God, I thank you for allowing us to do that. Thank you for your word and the boldness of it. It's in your gracious and loving heavenly name we pray today. Amen.